the Wintrust Business Lunch a minute ago. I mentioned Seasons of Love, that great song from the show Rent, 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? Somebody sent us this note. John, that song from Rent reminds me of a time I met a couple in an elevator at Edward Hospital in Naperville. The gentleman said, guess how long we've been married? He must have been one of those guys. Guess how long we've been married? And then he stated that they had been married 16,409 days. And since then, I keep track. My husband and I are up to 15,548 days of wedded bliss. Does anybody else do that? Tom Gimbel, how many days have you been married?
I should probably count how many I've been divorced, John.
Whatever. Is anybody keeping track of anything like that out there? I'm just happy when I can find my car keys, let alone keep track of that sort of thing.
I think that's called too much time on my hands.
Tom Gimbel is here. He is the job expert and the founder of the LaSalle Network. Speaking of numbers, I don't have a song for 254,000 jobs added in September or a 4.1% unemployment rate. What are you seeing here, Tom?
There's no other way to look at it but positively. And anytime, number one, as you know, John, from all the years we've been doing this, that my belief is if you're adding jobs, that's a positive. When you get into six-figure addition of jobs, that's wonderful. You hit a quarter of a million. It's really, really good. And you can always dig behind the data and find some negatives in it. There's no doubt about that, but that's not the case here.
What's driving all of this?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. I think, number one, that the economy is not as in desperate situation as the politicians would lead you to believe. The problem that we had as a country economically was inflation. Jobs were always plentiful, not always the job that everybody wants, but there were always jobs available, which is a really good sign. We've always been adding jobs from the recent past, and so things have been good. We pumped so much cash into the system as a government and as an economy during COVID in 2020 and 2021 that inflation went up, and it took time for that to come down and for that to be the case. But I just don't see a situation where the job situation isn't good for a while.
It says here average hourly earnings rise 0.4% up to 4% year on year. So average hourly earnings are up 4% year on year. 4% sounds good because you're also comparing it to inflation, which is less than that.
4% is great, John.
Is it? Because I just wonder if anybody's clicking their heels. I wonder how that relates or translates to an individual wage earner.
I'll tell you exactly, is that the wage earner never thinks they're getting paid enough, and the employer usually thinks they're paying too much. And it could be if it were up 10%, they think it was 15. And if it's up 5, they think it should be 7. And the 3% raise should be 6. And it's unless there is a true recession where people appreciate having a job, period, when unemployment's at 6, 7, 8, 9%. But other than that, you're always going to have this give and take. And the real challenge of all the numbers are it's viewed on such a macro level. And, you know, there's the majority of people say, you know what, if I have a job and I feel safe, then I'm good. And it's very hard for somebody who's making, pick your number, $80,000, $100,000, $150,000, doesn't matter, to look at this and really say, well, that doesn't really affect me, right? I have a job, my company's doing well, I'm happy.
If the economy is doing this well, then I wonder what the Fed does in November.
No, I don't think they're going to do a thing.
You don't even think you're going to get a quarter?
I think they rolled the dice and they lowered it 50 basis points versus 25. And I think what this report showed, since it's the numbers that came out, you know, the 50 basis points decrease didn't have any effect on these numbers. And so I think unless you say that the anticipatory factor of a rate reduction led to it, which maybe there's an argument, but people didn't know if it would be 25 or 50 basis points, that I think they're going to look and say the economy's doing just fine. We do not need to do another rate cut in 2024.
Mm. It seems to me like the housing thing is still stubborn, though, that there aren't enough homes. There's still not enough movement in the real estate markets. David Hochberg will jump on here and say that business is good, but it even then could be better. There's just not enough stock out there, and a lot of people are still sitting on their homes. I wonder how we get off of that thing.
Well, I think you got challenges of where people want to live and the jobs that are available in those areas. You know, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple months ago about more and more people going down to the Gulf Coast, Orange Beach and the Alabama Shores and 30A off the coast of Florida and so, such and such like that in the Gulf of Mexico. And aside from the tragedy going on there now, it's a really up-and-coming great place to live, but there aren't necessarily jobs there. And so one of the things, the challenges that we have as a country, is this isn't like it's China or India where there's a ton of undeveloped areas. Is, you know, if you're going to build, there's not a lot of land within 30 miles outside of Chicago to go build a development. Right, you got to go farther and farther and farther away, yeah. And you need companies that are going to go and have jobs out there because, as we've talked about, more and more companies are going to return to the office. So, yeah, I think there is a shortage of housing, but I also think one of the things that gets lost in the conversation is if the housing isn't near where the jobs are, you're not really adding any value.
Interesting point. It's a good report. 254,000 new jobs in September. And wages up to 4%, up 4%. Unemployment goes from 4.2 to 4.1. It's good news, Tom Gimbel, job expert and founder of the LaSalle Network. Thank you, Tom.
Yep, and one job we don't need to look for is quarterback for the Chicago Bears. We're looking good, John.
That's right. Even if the one that went and worked in Pittsburgh is really looking good, too. The one we have and the team are actually doing pretty well right now. Philip Weiss joins us now on the Wintrust Business Lunch. He's the president of SciFarth at Work. He's going to say something about bonuses. What possibly are you going to say about bonuses other than they're fabulous?
Well, they are, John, particularly if they're big. But they're also a little bit of a risk for both employers and employees, the way they're being increasingly utilized by companies. What we're seeing now, John, is a trend where companies are embracing a trend of allocating a bigger proportion of total employee compensation to what you might call a global result bonus. And what I mean by that is bonuses that are based on how the entire organization performs, profitability, productivity, stock price, et cetera, at the expense of somewhat lower salaries. So when you look at this from the employer standpoint, it looks pretty good because they're saying, well, look, we got fluctuating economic conditions. We don't know what the future holds. Let's save some of our fixed costs, but really compensate people when we all do well together. Problem is, from the employee standpoint, it means less certainty and more variability in what they might earn in any given year.
And it means less reward for a job well done. Maybe you were kicking butt. The company suffered, no fault of yours. Maybe, in fact, you actually helped them achieve the levels they did. Do you think that bonuses should be based on how the company is doing or how the individual is doing?
I would prefer the latter to the former for the exact reason that you stated, John. I mean, when companies have this vision that we're all looking at one goal, we're all driven by one goal, it sounds good, but it doesn't translate into what serves the employee or necessarily encourages and motivates them. And there's a great example of just what you described, John. An Illinois marketing company that's working with us now last year shifted about a quarter of its compensation budget from base salaries to these total global group bonuses. The company was growing rapidly, so everyone saw their bonuses increase as revenues grew, but then the company grew as well in terms of its headcount. Now it was 50 employees in 2024, and employees began to realize, I can't really control or contribute meaningfully to that bottom line profit figure. And in some cases, to your point, people were exceeding their personal goals, but still saw a drop in their bonus because the company didn't meet its overall revenue target. So less control at the individual level means less job satisfaction in many cases.
Are bonuses based on the hourly wage or the salary of the people? I mean, how do they do that normally?
I mean, that's a really good question. There's many combinations. And employers can bonus virtually everybody who's an actual employee. Some cases it can be based on stock price. As you said, it can and probably should be based on performance, but a whole lot of other metrics can be a piece of the puzzle, so to speak. We had one company, it's actually a design company on the East Coast, that was tying everyone's bonus to whether the company met its project deadlines, because that had been a problem in the past. So that sounds reasonable at first. You know, we all meet our deadlines, we all get a bigger bonus. But then supply chain issues, vendor issues, client-driven changes led to project delays, and therefore everyone lost out. So you want to be really conscious of what you don't see today, but could be a way or a reason that bonuses are adversely affected 6 months or a year from now. If you look at people's performance, though, and you have a healthy balance, John, between a credible base salary and the opportunity for more, you can probably see good, stable results throughout.
Can a bonus be too small? Can a bonus be too big?
Yeah, bonus can be, the answer is yes and yes. Bonus can be too big when you probably aren't going to be able to repeat it again. Because we all know you can tell an employee, hey, this is discretionary, this is 1 year, we don't know about the future. But you see a dollar sign as an employee, you think, okay, I'm probably going to get something like that next year. So bonuses create an expectation, even with good communication. A bonus that's too small is also problematic because, as you said, many employees view that bonus as an additional indicator of how well they are doing, no matter what else is said. So a paltry bonus means you might have been poorly evaluated or considered or perceived. So this is such an important area to think about, to explain, and to build into your comp structure in a strategic way.
Yeah, maybe you just got to get in front of that. I know instances where people got a bonus and it was small, less than they thought, and now the extra money's insulting. You're like, really? This is the thank you for the 60-hour weeks I put in, or whatever the end of that sentence was. But I mean, I'm familiar with instances where people got a bonus. Hello, it's more than your pay, and they were put off by it.
Yeah, that kind of, there's an emotional component. There's a message component that you've really identified. Base salary is, in many employees' view, about support. It's about keeping people above water and allowing to save enough to develop their financial nest egg. The bonus is a way of saying we, et cetera, did great, and thank you so much. So that thank you shouldn't be in the form of a tiny little note that is hardly perceptible. It should be a big, clear message, and that is only translated into dollars in this context.
I'm thinking of the Jelly of the Month Club that Clark Griswold got, and we know how that worked out. They were counting on that bonus, y'all.
Exactly. I mean, this is about expectations and communication, and you want to think about both of them.
It's nice to talk to you, Philip, as always. Philip Weiss is the president of SyFarth at Work, SeyFarth, SyFarthAtWork.com. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure.
A text message, anyway, to 312-981-7200. We're talking with Philip Weiss about bonuses. And is it a problem if the bonus isn't very good? Is that insulting? 630 texted in and said, hey, I'm in route sales. The vice president asked us to stop at some extra accounts and put up two signs. The rep said, the most wins a special prize. And so I went all out and made an extra 50 stops, and I won the contest. My prize was a $25 Amazon gift card. I smiled and said thank you. I once got a raise, not at this radio station, but it was so small that when my wife said to me at some point, hey, aren't we due for our raise? I said, we got it several weeks ago, and it was so small I was embarrassed to tell you, and so we are living our raise right now. Boy, I'd like to get my hands on some of these radio station managers. Oh, here's Harvey Wells now. Longtime radio manager in town. How are you, Harvey?
I'm good. How are you doing today, John?
Good. You are now the founder of Lower Tech Bills, lowertechbills.com. You've been coming on our radio station for several months now.
Indeed.
And our listeners have been reaching out to you with the problem with their tech bills. It's phones, it's TV and streaming, and it's computer. You help people with all of those.
Yeah, internet would be the third one. Internet, TV, and cell bills.
What's the mistake people are still making?
Well, I think the biggest mistake people make is not doing an audit of what they have right now. I think what I find is some people just go ahead. This is how I started, John. I just paid my bill every month. And I didn't realize until I had the time to look at the bill and go, wow, I am overpaying. I got a lot of clients who say, you know, I never really looked at this stuff, but holy cow, I'm overpaying.
And in the process of paying less, were you cutting services, though?
No, not necessarily. You're redoing them to get a better advantage of deals going on right now.
And you're, as you've told us in the past, if I may, not duplicating some services. You said some people are paying for Netflix twice.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that a lot where you get the husband has a credit card, they're getting Netflix. The wife has a credit card, they're getting Netflix. And maybe a streaming service is charging them as well.
708 said, can I just tell you what some of the feedback has been from our listeners?
As long as it's good.
Harvey saved us $3,000 a year starting yesterday. Thank you, Harvey.
Wow, that's my brother-in-law. Thank you. No, just kidding.
214 said, I'll get to some of these specific questions. Hey, John, I called after hearing Harvey on your show, and I switched to YouTube TV for both my house and my cottage, and now I'm saving $187 a month. Bam, Harvey rocks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
John, if you told me 30 years ago that I'd be spending over $400 a month on communication and entertainment, I would have told you you were out of your mind. This is out of control. What in general are people spending too much money on? I'm not sure where I can cut and get everything I need. I'll bet my media bill's $400.
Oh, easy. Yeah. If you add your cell, your street, your internet, and your TV bills together, you're going to be $500 or more a month.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention.
Really? So you're not surprised to hear these numbers?
No, not at all. And it just takes the consumer to take control of their bills or hire somebody like me to help you do it, because there are a lot of ways to save money out there.
Good afternoon, John Williams. Could you please ask Harvey Wells if he would recommend a Wi-Fi extender to use with an AT&T router?
Well, you know what? I would look at all the different types of internet that might be available at that address, because there are a lot of different ways to get internet now. You've got T-Mobile, you have Verizon, you have Xfinity, you have AT&T with their different kinds of internet. So I wouldn't go with a router until I looked at my specific address to see what's available.
But for Wi-Fi, that's the wireless communication.
Yes.
from that company to your devices. Are some of them more powerful? Are some of them better?
There are a lot of different services right now. These 5G companies, like I mentioned, T-Mobile and Verizon and AT&T, all have home internet now. And you can get very fast speeds using them for a lot less money than other companies charge. Or Xfinity actually has really fast speed, and there are some great deals coming from Xfinity right now.
You said that last time. Those are still out there. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
you got to be a smart consumer, John.
But when I'm talking about, when this person is talking about a Wi-Fi extender, that's like in the basement or attic or the backyard, you want to get the internet out there as well, right?
Yeah, but I would not go with what they call a mesh router until I've examined every other way to get the internet in my home. Because these routers are sometimes you think you're getting a stronger signal and you're really not. Hmm. So there are multiple ways to get the internet now.
Would you buy an extender or would you rent it from the company?
If you have to do it, I would buy one.
Yeah.
Because you don't renting from the company sometimes doesn't work at all.
It's like $10 a month.
Yeah.
So there's $120, and you can get one for less than $120.
Yeah. In a case of an extender, I would. In a case of a modem, some of the companies offer them for free and others don't. It's complicated stuff. It really is. But it takes an educated consumer to save the money.
People are wondering how they're going to be able to watch the sports in Chicago. What's going on there?
Big changes in sports for those of you who are especially Blackhawks or Bulls fans.
Or White Sox fans,
or White
right?
Sox fans coming
three.
Up next year.
Yeah.
It's tough with the White Sox, but let's put that aside for now. I'm a fan, so it's not been fun. But with the Blackhawks opening their season tonight in Utah, which is on ESPN, but after that, they're going to be on a new network called CHSN. And if you don't have DirecTV satellite or stream, or you don't have UVerse, or you don't have Astound, which are available in limited areas, or you don't have a really good antenna to pick up channel 62.2, I know, what the heck is that? You're not going to get the games.
You will have once they do a deal with Comcast?
Xfinity is going to do a deal, I believe, at some point. The same exact thing happened when Marquee signed on a few years ago with the Cubs. It took them 4 months to do a deal, but they finally did. Yeah, I'm confident Xfinity will do a deal. But for now, if you want to watch the Blackhawks or Bulls, and the Bulls open their preseason tonight too, by the way, you're not going to be able to see that until that deal is done. I tried three different antennas, John, to get 62.2 where I live, which is about 30 miles from the city. I struck out on all three. Best Buy knows me by name because I've come and gone three different times to return antennas that didn't work.
These are three of our five franchise sports franchises in Chicago. So they absolutely need to be and will be on Xfinity. There's no way they can do it without.
They can't. And there's a ton of people out there who have YouTube TV that have a streaming service called Fubo, and have other streaming services that also can't get it. So it's very, very difficult right now, unless you have DirecTV, like I say. They're
or
the ones who have it.
AT&T UVerse?
AT&T UVerse has it. But again, only if you have UVerse. And if you called AT&T today and wanted to sign up for UVerse, they'd say they don't do it anymore. There are no new customers for UVerse.
So keep your fingers not just crossed, because that's hopeful that it'll happen. You and I are confident that this deal is going to happen.
Yes, it will
it's
happen.
It's just a matter of when. And I think it was into the baseball season before they got it.
When the
and
Cubs.
You would imagine that's going to happen too. So as the seasons are starting now, I know you're not in the room, but I mean, do you expect it's days from now that'll happen?
I was in the Xfinity store just yesterday asking this very question, realizing I was going to be on today. And the people that I work with at Xfinity right now say it's bound to happen, but they don't have a time or a day really when it's going to, when they know it'll happen. But it has to. I mean, there's too many Blackhawk fans out there and Bulls fans out there. And then when the White Sox season starts, for sure they'll have the series by the station on by then.
And the website is lowertechbills.com.
Thank you.
It's easy enough to connect with. Okay, first let's check more business news now. And there's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A new ranking names Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago as the best pediatric hospital in Illinois. UChicago Medicine's Comer Children's Hospital is ranked second. U.S. News & World Report also puts Lurie in the top 10 nationally in two specialties, including neurosciences and neonatology. It's the only hospital in Illinois ranked for all 11 specialties included in the U.S. News Report. U.S. News analyzed data from 108 children's hospitals and surveyed thousands of pediatric specialists for its ranking. Lurie, by the way, was also recently named the ninth best hospital globally in a ranking by Newsweek. Chicago-based McDonald's is suing several beef companies, alleging those companies conspired to limit beef supplies and boost profits at the expense of McDonald's. The lawsuit names Tyson Foods, JBS, and Cargill. It says the companies conspired to reduce output and drive up prices since at least 2015. The companies are accused of violating federal antitrust laws. According to Cranes, McDonald's is seeking financial damages and wants a court order to stop the alleged conspiracy. JBS, Tyson, and Cargill did not respond to requests for comment. I'm Steve Brzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We do have the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And let's play a game. Name this company. Here's a hint.
A large company, you know, $1.3 billion in sales globally, but not many people know us.
And another hint.
There'll be several products in almost everyone's pantry.
And another hint.
You know, my great-grandfather and my grandfather founded the business together back in 1919.
That was back in the day when eating food could be really dangerous.
My great-grandfather was getting a pharmacology degree at Northwestern, and he kind of grabbed my grandfather and said, hey, you know, there's an opportunity here from a food science point of view.
And fast forward a couple of generations, it became a global company.
That was kind of my father's hallmark through the 70s in particular.
And now it's a huge company with a presence in more than 80 countries, more than 5,000 employees worldwide. And it was named by the Wall Street Journal as one of the best managed companies in the country. I will give you the name after I mention this name, the Chevy Silverado. It's our sponsor today and every day. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, on the phone with me is Brian Griffith, the fourth generation of the family business. Griffith Foods, one of the biggest food companies that operates behind the scenes. You know those packets of barbecue sauce for the chicken nuggets? Griffith Foods makes those.
We create spice blends and sauces, marinades, seasonings that go both, you know, on meat, in meat, and on snacks.
And 125 years after great-grandpa started the company in Alsip, it's still headquartered there, and the basic goals remain much the same. Make food safer and life better.
We're looking at, you know, how do we do delicious, nutritious, sustainable, affordable, and accessible food? And if you kind of think about it, delicious is not so difficult to do. But when you talk about delicious, nutritious, and sustainable, and then ensuring that we are meeting the needs of the underserved with accessible and affordable food, that's what we're focused on.
Griffith Foods, one of the biggest food companies in the world that most of us have never heard of, but we sure enjoy their products. On the food calendar, it's National Pierogi Day, probably made with some of those Griffith spices, and National Fluffernutter Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Harvey Wells is here, lowertechbills.com.
John, real quick, as an old radio guy,
yeah,
I should say that one way that you can get every Blackhawk game is just by listening to 720 AM.
I appreciate you saying that, because while they're not on everybody's TVs as the season starts, we will have every game.
Yeah.
Tonight, John and Troy, 9 o'clock the puck drops, and pregame at 8:30. And that's true. Can I read you some questions from our listeners? I know this is a basic question. Does Harvey recommend a streaming service for movies and TV? I still enjoy my Comcast, but I want to cut down on all my services.
Yeah, that's a tough question, because every streaming service has different programs. So you have to really look at each streaming service and say, is this a show I want? Is this a movie I want? And when you're done with it, cancel it and go on to the next one. That's really important that you don't oversubscribe. That's one of the most difficult things in the world.
But if you were just going to pick one platform in general and you're going to stick with it, Apple Plus, HBO Max, Netflix, which do you think has the highest quality, broadest offer?
Can I say yes?
I don't know how you don't do Netflix myself.
I like Max is very good. Netflix is right up. Netflix probably spends the most money.
They're the big dog.
Right.
I mean, they have the most offerings.
Absolutely. So, but if you like a show like, let's say you like, excuse me, thank you, need a cough switch. Let's say you would like a program like The Handmaid's Tale. You got to have Hulu for that. Let's say you want a program like The Morning Show. You need Apple TV for that.
Okay, but the answer, yeah, sure. So the answer is also, like, I would say Netflix, because that's my that's my go-to channel. But know that you're going to miss stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff you're going to miss.
That's right. And there are a bunch of new ways to bundle. So, for example, if you're an Xfinity subscriber, you can get Peacock along with Max along with Netflix for $15 a month. That's a great deal.
Yeah, you mentioned that last time, and I'm glad you're mentioning it again. That's still in place. John, we are meeting Harvey on Friday to change our service because, yes, we are paying too much. Hey, John, will the new sports station you were talking about, CHSN, be on DirecTV?
That is a yes. They are one of the only companies that is currently out there streaming. Whether you're satellite or stream, you will be able to get CHSN.
We requested and received a refund from Hulu, and we discovered we were paying twice. Wow, that's amazing to me.
That is so not unusual. I see it all the time where people are double paying.
King John, Harvey saved me $180 a month, and I pitch him to everyone I know who grouses about their tech bills. Ask him if he ordered those business cards I suggested.
Thank you, and yes. Yes, I did.
You don't have business cards?
I do now, yeah.
But were you so digital, you weren't even thinking about a good old-fashioned...
I never thought, because this is a brand new business that I never thought was a business until it became a business.
Can you talk about the antennas that people are putting on to pick up TV?
Yes.
Because it's a digital service that you're receiving?
You are receiving, with antennas now, it is digital TV. And there are, oh God, I don't want to dive in too deep into the woods, as I know we're near the end here. But if you don't have the right kind of receiver on your TV, you won't be able to pick up 62.1 and 0.2 because of the fact that it's streaming in a different compression ratio, and that's as far as I'm going to go with
it. Okay, but that's for the sports stuff.
Yes.
Okay, but isn't also if, right, so TV's no longer analog, it's digital
right.
broadcast.
You either get it or you
digital
antennas. Don't.
Okay,
right.
So if you have an old TV, antenna's not going to pick it up anyway.
You'd need a converter to take that old TV, make it digital, and then you need a digital antenna.
But even then, TVs aren't that expensive. I mean, if you can't afford it, don't. But it would seem to me like just buy a new digital TV. Wouldn't that pick up a digital broadcast signal?
But you'd still need an antenna.
Oh, it doesn't come with an antenna?
No,
I still got to get an antenna.
Still need an antenna. Okay, but and the worst part of it, John, is if for each TV you have in your home, let's say you have four TVs, you need four antennas.
Seriously.
Or you need a way to string them all together, which is a lot of cable.
And even then, isn't it limited by the distance that that broadcast signal travels?
I live, like I said, 30 miles from the Willis Tower, Sears Tower, and there are channels I cannot get.
Because, really?
And I have an amplified antenna, the best indoor antenna made, and
okay.
I still can't get it.
But just to be clear, that's you could pick it up, of course, if you had cable or the dish.
Totally.
But if you're going to go with an antenna, you're still limited by how far you are away from the stick.
You either need an outdoor antenna if you live far away, a really good amplified antenna, or you need to live close to the Sears Tower.
How do people get a hold of you, Harvey?
www.lowertechbills.com.
You know, you don't have to say the www
I forgot about
part.
That.
Just say lowertechbills.com.
I'm so 1995 here.
If you need any tech assistance, let me know. Lowertechbills.com.
Do or hmwellsradio@gmail.com.
Or email hmwellsradio@gmail.com. Harvey, join us again.
Thank you. A pleasure every time. The GN listeners are the greatest.